Let me start by posing to you that I see community engagement as a counter narrative, and I will defend it as such. I would like to clarify three aspects. The scholarship of engagement, as coined by Boyer in the early 1990s, as a way to describe the nexus of research, teaching, and learning, has found many homes throughout history, and Pini has referred to it with terms like civic engagement, service learning, community engagement, even experiential learning, applied learning, and academic outreach. And Sandman refers to this confusion and seeming proliferation of terms as a definitional anarchy. And I love that. So secondly, while community engagement is one of the three pillars of the modern university, different forms of higher education and different disciplines attach different definitions and importances to the notion of a scholarship of engagement. I would therefore like to propose that community engagement in a research-intensive higher education institution may not be comparable and should not be compared to community engagement at a mega comprehensive open distance and e-learning institution. What may be a valid definition and practice of a scholarship of engagement in one discipline, such as psychology or development studies, may not be relevant or practical in another discipline, such as chemistry or engineering. My sense, therefore, is that there is no one-size-fits-all. We should rather agree on a set of core principles, and hopefully my short paper can contribute to that, agree on a core set of principles and to make one form of engagement the gold standard for all higher education institutions or all disciplines. My final remark for now deals with the impact of the networked and digital society with all its opportunities and its perils on community engagement. Going digital and online opens up new opportunities for considering and questioning some of our long-held traditional assumptions about scholarship in all its forms, whether the scholarship of teaching, discovery, integration, and engagement. So why do I position my paper, my contribution to you this afternoon, as a counter-narrative? I want to disagree with Mpini, and that's why I love the academe, is that you can disagree with a colleague and smile. It is easy to romanticize the past, that education was at one stage back then never gendered, never racial, never bound to the socioeconomic structures of the time. Higher education has always served different masters, and I couldn't find the gender more specific and appropriate term for masters. These masters included religion, national governments and nationhood, ideological agendas, and more recently the market and the hegemony of neoliberalism. Looking at the history of community engagement over the last few decades, we can see how our terms and our definitions of community engagement changed as we danced to the tune of yet another new master. The present-day close link between higher education's servitude to new liberal market ideologies has not gone unnoticed to critical scholars such as Blackmore, Diefenbach, Giroux, and others. Giroux, for example, claims that higher education has become the handmaiden of the corporate world in an age of money and profit, where academic disciplines gain stature almost exclusively through the exchange value on the market, and students now rush to take courses and receive professional credentials that provide them with the capital they need to sell themselves to the highest bidder. Boyer in 1996 already bemoaned the fact that the close engagement of higher education with the communities it used to serve has sadly become disconnected and declined dramatically. This decline, Boyer described in 1996, to the fact that being an academic has come to mean to, and I quote, to write in a certain style understood by only one's peers, and conforming to an academic reward system that encourages disengagement and even penalizes professors whose work become useful to non-academics or popularized. So you should not publish in a popular journal. Academia has moved from the public coffee shop to the campus cafeteria and senate halls. Higher education has furthermore moved away from being a public good to a private one for the selected few. Social problems and concerns by communities have become the playground of politicians with their berets and promises, and NGOs in spaces devoid of academic rigor or academic presence. The worst example of this was a number of years ago with the United Nations Global Compact meeting in Ghana, where the academics met in the Royal Palm Hotel on the beach, and the practitioners met on campus. And we only saw one another during the reception. As an antidote to becoming obsolete and irrelevant, Boyer in 1996 already called for scholarship to be reconsidered and reassessed, where academic knowledge, research, and teaching can once again become useful to communities in addressing real-world problems. Giroux in 2003 petitioned for the reinstatement and defense of higher education as a moral and a political practice, nothing less and nothing more, which prepare graduates for more than just employment and a life of consumerism. We need to secure higher education, I quote Giroux, as a resource vital to the democratic and civic life of the nation, end of quote. I would therefore claim, colleagues, that community engagement or a scholarship of engagement is a vital counter-narrative to the present-day obsession with students as customers and degrees as passports to shopping malls. Community engagement as counter-narrative is not something a small group of academics or one or two departments do. It is not something added to a curriculum or to a degree as an afterthought, but it is an essential characteristic of what higher education is and should be. I now turn to the second part of my presentation, namely to find some pointers from the evolution of community engagement and just to make sense of this journey. And I think there's overlaps to what Mpini said. I think the way I understand it, there's one gestalt or one form of community engagement that saw community engagement as doing it for them, reaching out to the other, to the surrounding communities, offering our precious services, our precious time, our precious expertise for them. The space is also characterized by the notion that the expertise was to be found in higher education and the communities did not know anything. Another characteristic of this phase or this gestalt is the fact that communities had questions and the academe had the answers. This spirit or gestalt of community engagement can most probably be described by terms like academic outreach to them and service learning. Then there is an element where higher education became involved in communities because we needed places for experiential learning or practicals for our students. I would almost characterize this phase or gestalt or form as a strange symbiosis or even higher education being parasites on the ecology surrounding them. We needed them. And then in most recent developments, which I actually think gets closer to the real meaning of community engagement and to the real meaning of a scholarship of engagement, is where the communities have the answers and we have the questions. And that's a dramatic turnaround of the way we normally saw things. In this gestalt of community engagement, communities and higher education institutions are seen as equal partners in a shared journey to understand the world better, to solve real-world problems, to really make a difference. Here it is no longer a case of higher education going to them, to help them, to give them what they are looking for and or need, but rather a collaborative search for meaning and sense-making. Like many critics, Barker in 2004 petitions for knowledge and higher education as a public good and an engaged scholarship where the public itself can contribute to academic knowledge. Here the emphasis changes from producing knowledge for the public, but with the public. Collaborating with the public exposes scholars to new sources of data and provides opportunities for greater experimentation in the production of academic knowledge. Barker makes it clear that the scholarship of engagement does not and should not be seen as replacing other forms of scholarship, but rather contributes and enriches it.